It is the Word of God. It is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in value, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in interest, personal in application, inspired in totality. Read it through, write it down, pray it in, work it out, and pass it on. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God today and the power of the Word of God? The title of the sermon, When the Fullness of Time Had Come. Our scripture text is found in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We begin the series of Christmas sermons today with the words of the Apostle Paul. His words are written in this letter to the church at Galatia. The Scripture reminds us that we have been redeemed. We've been redeemed. We've been adopted into God's family. We've been adopted as His sons and His daughters. We praise God for our redemption and our adoption. Amen. But there's an important expression in this verse that I'm focusing on this morning. But when the fullness of time had come. It's as if the Scripture is saying, at just the precise time, according to God's eternal plan, He sent His Son. Can everybody hear me okay? Am I loud enough? I noticed last week it was a little bit softer, and several of you were napping a little bit during the sermon. And In fact, one of the folks came up to me later and said, I really appreciate you turning the volume down a little bit, because I was able to take a short nap and I feel so refreshed now. And in fact, then another person came up to me after the sermon and said, I just love it. You've learned this eternal truth. And I said, what is that? Well, he said that sermons are like biscuits. And I said, they're like biscuits? And he said, oh yeah, sermons are like biscuits. They're always better with shortening. And so I appreciated y'all. I think about that one, friend. Appreciate those words. When the fullness, at just the precise and the right time, God sent His Son. You know, the reality is that for most of us, we're always impatient. And that impatience even applies to us our lives spiritually, where we're concerned that prayers that we've been praying for days, weeks, months, even years, that those prayers are still not answered. And the difficulties that we're praying about and the situation we're praying about, they still exist. But I just want to remind all of us today that God is always on time. He's always on time. And we look at this beginning of the Christmas story with the Scripture in Luke's Gospel. We examine three incredible characters in the story, Zacharias and Mary and Elizabeth. So we begin with Zacharias. And the Scripture is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 20. And we have it for you on the PowerPoint as well. There were, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of the division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And Zechariah said to the angel, to the Lord their God, he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife, he was kind here. He didn't say she was old. She just said she's well advanced in years. Wasn't that polite of him? That was very polite. She's well advanced in years. And the angel of the Lord said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now you think about it. Zacharias and his wife had waited all these years. They had waited and prayed for a son, for a child. I suspect in their old age, they're probably about given up. But God's timing was perfect. God's timing was perfect because the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias and he says, Zacharias, your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have been answered. And of course, we know how Zacharias responded. He showed doubt, didn't he? He showed doubt. He said, how shall I know this? I mean, the angel of God is standing in front of you telling you this, and you're saying, but, well, how am I going to know this? I'm old. My wife is well advanced in years. See, the problem was this. Zacharias was looking at things only in the natural rather than looking at things through the supernatural. God help us. God help you and me to have eyes of faith that can see beyond the natural and to see the supernatural hand of God who can do the impossible, who can do the miraculous, if we'll just have those eyes of faith. Amen. The angel's answer was very revealing. He said, I'm Gabriel. Let me just paraphrase what the angel said. He said, don't you understand? I am no ordinary angel. I'm Gabriel. I'm the one that stands in the presence of God. I'm not just a regular angel. And God sent me to bring to you this incredible message of a miracle, of answering your prayer, even though your wife is too old and you seem too old. By a miracle of God, you're going to have a son. And of course, at that point, Zacharias couldn't say anything because the Bible says he was mute, wasn't he? Couldn't say a word. I've heard that's the wish of many women, but we won't go there. Think about it. This incredible message from God is going to have a son. But Zacharias didn't understand. The message from this angel is saying, your son is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in the womb. He's going to be great in the sight of God. He's going to cause the hearts of God's people to turn to the Lord. Your son will go before the anointed one. Your son is going to go before Christ, preparing a way for him under great power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so he can show the way for the coming of the long-awaited Messiah. What an incredible story the angel was giving to Zacharias. Good tidings, wasn't it? Incredible message of answered prayer. And yet, Zacharias doesn't believe it. He can't imagine it. And so he's mute. He can't say a word. He's not going to be able to say a word until that baby is born. The Bible tells us that 6 months later, that his wife, of course, Elizabeth, is with child. The Bible tells us that she hid herself making no announcement until the promised event became very evident physically. Well, when she gives birth, the Bible tells us that on the eighth day, she and Zechariah go into the temple to circumcise the child. And Elizabeth tells the folks there the name of the baby. And it's kind of unusual because he's not going to be named after his father, Zacharias. She tells everyone his name will be John. And so they all look at Zacharias because he's the father, and they're saying, and he can't talk. And saying, is this right? Is this true? And the Bible says he writes on a tablet, his name is John. And the Bible says immediately his mouth opened and he spoke. And fear came upon those that were with him. And they said, what kind of child will this be? The Bible also tells us that the hand of the Lord was with him. Speaking now of Zechariah. Because it goes on to say, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied at that very moment. In the Old Testament times, God selected specific and certain individuals for his purpose and filled them with the Holy Spirit. But praise God, today, because of our Savior Jesus and the promise of the Father, every one of us that come to know Christ as Savior are filled with his Holy Spirit. Praise God for that promise and that blessing. Let's look at the second character in this story today, and that's Mary. We continue reading in Luke's Gospel. We'll pick it up in verse 26, the first chapter, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Can you imagine that? Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, don't you love that part? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Verse 38, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What a contrast. Contrast of Mary's response and Zechariah's response. Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. Zechariah said, how can this be? I don't understand this. Mary had learned. She had learned that no matter what her plans might have been, God had a plan. And God had an eternal plan, a plan for her to give birth to a son of his kingdom. The angel said, there will be no end. Mary had learned that God's promises are unfailing. The verse 32 that we just read, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. I'm sure this young girl must have been familiar with the promises about the Messiah, the one that would rule on David's throne, the one that was prophesied that would be born of a virgin. That scripture is found in Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. But centuries had passed. In fact, 700 years had passed since that prophecy by Isaiah that the coming Messiah would be born of a virgin. And then suddenly this angel appears before this young girl, Mary, delivering this message of the birth of the promised Messiah, and it would be through her that she had been chosen by God. God's promise came true that day, didn't it? A promise that had been made 700 years before came true that day. God's word is full of promises for you and for me. Promises that we can lay a hold of. Promises that we can claim. Don't let go of God's promises. Don't let go of the promises in His Word. The promises that you can take into your life personally and count on, they are unfailing. God, give us faith today in His promises. Amen. And finally, we look at the third character in this story today, and that character is Elizabeth. We continue to read in Luke's gospel in that first chapter, starting in verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. She just heard it. She heard the greeting of Mary, it says. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you." She's speaking to Mary now. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And then we begin the song of Mary. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Father." She's worshiping. She's praising God. "For He's regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. Behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He sent away empty. He's helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." In the next verse, in verse 56, it says, "And Mary remained with Elizabeth, about 3 months, and then returned to her home." Well, you know, the Bible says that Elizabeth was in her 6th month when Mary came to see her. So she says that she stayed about 3 more months. I don't know if she stayed through the birth of the baby John or not, but she was there with Elizabeth for that period of time. Isn't it beautiful how God knew exactly how to put these two women together? God knew exactly that as Mary walked into that room, that Elizabeth and the baby in her would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And these two women are together rejoicing. How did Elizabeth know that Mary was even carrying a child? She wasn't even married then. How did Elizabeth know that the child was the Son of God? How did she know that in her was her Lord, as she called it? Because at that moment when she was filled with the Holy Spirit and the baby in her was filled with the Holy Spirit, God gave her instant and complete understanding of everything. And she knew. She knew exactly. She knew because the Holy Spirit had revealed it to her. And she began to rejoice. And you think about this young woman, Mary, who just had an encounter with an angel, telling her this miraculous thing. By faith she says, "I believe." But don't you know God realized that this young woman just needed a little bit more encouragement and a little bit more of a word from God confirming what God was going to do in her that was so miraculous. See, she walks into her her relative's home, Elizabeth. And immediately, through the reaction of Elizabeth, the confirmation of God's purpose is again revealed to this young, precious girl, Mary. Oh, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in Mary and Elizabeth, confirming God's great design and God's great plan for these two women together, the evidence of His overshadowing power and His unlimited power. It's still unlimited today, by the way. It's still unlimited power today for you and for me. I love the part we just read where Mary is then immediately rejoicing. It's referred to as the song of Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord, she says. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Oh, may our souls this Christmas season and every day magnify the Lord. Oh, may our spirits rejoice in knowing our Savior Jesus. Oh, I want to remind all of us today, with God, all things are possible. The scripture in Matthew 19 and 26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You're not here by accident this morning. Some of you listening to this sermon live on our live Facebook feed, and some of you will hear it even later. You're not listening to this sermon by accident. Our difficulties are often opportunities for faith to come alive. Our difficulties are often opportunities for us to reach out to believe and to know that God is on time in the working of our lives and the answering of the prayers that we're sending forth to Him in heaven. His blessing, I'll tell you, His blessings are so much greater than our understanding or our expectations. Look at the example of Zacharias and Elizabeth. They had just been praying for a son. God didn't give them an ordinary son. He gave them a son that was known as John the Baptist that made the way for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Mary was given the most incredible miracle and gift a woman could ever receive, to have the Son of God in her to give birth to the Messiah, Jesus. Whatever you're praying for this morning, whatever you're in need of, whatever your desire is that is so overwhelming and sometimes even burdensome, whatever you're pleading and asking for, remember this verse in Luke chapter 1, do not be afraid, Zacharias. What did the angel say? Your prayer has been heard. Oh, your prayer has been heard. I'll tell you this, God's plans are eternal. His promises are unfailing. His power is unlimited. His timing is perfect in the working of our lives. I've shared this story before of the rich art collector and his son. Permit me to share with you again. It's so applicable. A very wealthy man, his wife had passed away and he raised his son alone, and he and his son had an incredible appreciation for great art, great works of art. They loved great works of art. Because the man was very wealthy, he and his son together would travel around the world and find priceless works of art and buy them and bring them back to their home, their mansion, and place these incredible works of art in their home. The days went on and the son grew up, became a young man, and war came to the land. So the son had to go to battle like all the young men of the nation did. And one day the father got a telegram that his son had died in battle, and it grieved him deeply. He felt so alone and he loved his son so much. He was just so full of grief. The days went by, and a few weeks later there was a knock at the door. The man opened the door and there stood a young soldier. He had a package under his arm. The young soldier greeted the man and he said, I was with your son in battle, and I was with your son when he fell and gave his life in battle. Your son died a brave man. We were friends, and I knew how much you and he loved art. And not just an amateur artist, but I painted a picture of your son, and I want to give it to you. Well, the man invited the soldier in. He unwrapped the package, and it wasn't a great work of art, But it was an incredible likeness of the Son that he loved so much. And he treasured that picture. In fact, he hung it in the most place of honor in his home above the grand fireplace in the great hall of his home. And he thanked the soldier. It meant so much to him. And every day the man would walk through his home and look up and see that image of his son. It meant so much to him. But the years passed, and finally the old man, the rich man, he died. And in his will, he had agreed that all of the great works of art in his home would be auctioned off. And they would have a big auction. And people came from all over the world to participate in that auction because he had such incredible classic works of art in his home. As the auction began, the auctioneer holds up the son's picture done by the young soldier that wasn't a great work of art. It was just a picture of the man's son. And he said, "We're going to begin the auction with bids on this picture." And somebody in the audience yelled and said, That's not what we came here for. That's not a great work of art. We want the good stuff." And the auctioneer said, "No, this is the order of the auction. Who will bid for this picture of the son?" There were no bids, and there was a very humble servant of the rich man who had very little money, but he understood how much the man loved his son and how much that picture meant to the father. And he spoke up and he said, I have very little money, but I'll bid $10 for that portrait of the son." The auctioneer said, "We have $10 going once, going twice, sold for $10. Then the auctioneer said, "That officially ends the auction today." And the people that had come from all over the world, they said, "Wait a minute. We're here to bid on these priceless works of art. What do you mean? What are you saying? That's the end of the auction." And the auctioneer said, "It was the will of the Father that whoever took the Son gets it all." Today, it is still the will of our Heavenly Father that whoever takes His Son, Jesus, gets it all. Oh, we get hope. We get the promise of heaven. We get sins forgiven. We get the wonderful joy of knowing Christ as our Savior, the best friend we'll ever have. We'll get that hope of eternal life because it all comes through God's Son. Are you making plans for eternity this morning? God is. Are you trusting in His promises? I tell you, His promises are unfailing. Are you resting in His unlimited power this morning? Trust Him to care for you. Trust Him to care for the problems that trouble you today, the concerns that you have. Trust His timing. His timing is perfect. He's our Savior, isn't He? Aren't you thankful for Him? We're going to conclude our worship this morning with the congregation singing of a beautiful song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was the author of that beautiful song. Many of you may remember that a year ago a movie premiered in the theaters, and it was the true story behind the song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Wadsworth was America's beloved poet. Poets that you may have remembered, Hiawatha and the Ride of Paul Revere, and many others that we often heard and memorized as children. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he led an idyllic life until one day tragedy shattered his family and his heart because his wife died due to a fire that occurred in the home. It caught her dress on fire. She received very, very severe burns. Day after day, she lingered until finally she passed away. It took her life. And this happened during the time of the Civil War. Our nation was divided in a civil war. Now his family is torn apart. He's lost his wife in a tragic death. And he stops writing poems. He starts writing anything. He puts down his pen. He's full of depression. He's full of despondency. He's full of grief. And he can't hardly have any faith in anything. But on Christmas morning, hearing the sounds of the bells ringing on Christmas morning suddenly ignited the little spark in his heart. And he discovered the resounding hope of rekindled faith. And he penned the words to this song that Sherry's going to lead us in this morning.